Hey folks, we're about to kick off with this week's podcast. Before we kick it off, here's a nice little philosophy moment with my pal at Andre King Comedy. Enjoy.
Whoa, this is my Kiwi life.
Never be afraid to say you're sorry, especially to your children.
Hey folks, and welcome to my very first episode of my new podcast, My Kiwi Life. That's right, it's about me and my life. It's hopefully about you and your life. And we get guests to come in and sit on the podcast couch and talk about their life. Now it's weird, eh? Because here's the thing. We used to do it. We used to actually talk to people. And now we kind of like communicate in this weird technical environment where we think we're communicating. Maybe we are. Maybe we're not. Something in between's missing. And I'm on a bit of a mission at the moment to find out what's missing. Let me explain a bit further. I'm 35 years old when I'm recording this podcast. I'm married. I have children. And I'm left thinking, you know, what else is out there? I've kind of nailed the basic parts. I've got the things that I set out to get. You know, there was many years in my youth where I thought that was exactly what I needed. You know, and it is what I needed. It's just I didn't realize that once you get, you know, the necessities, once you're fed every night, once you have a loving relationship, once you have your children, what's next? So it's that what's next that I'm attempting to kind of move towards in this podcast. Taking a step back, Will Fleming is my name. And firstly, I'd like to thank you for joining me on this podcast. I'm new to this. I'm new to podcasting. I've been podcasting for about a year now. It all started the morning I took the bus to work and I saw everyone listening to their phones or, you know, they had their earplugs in. And I was thinking, what are they all listening to? So that night I got home and I Googled, what do people listen to on buses? And straight away on Google, podcasts came up. And I started, you know, looking into podcasting, what's it all about? And I was starting to listen to Mark Maron and the Nerdist podcast. And I was like, all these people are doing is sitting down and talking to others. And it's amazing that, you know, they're doing that because we're not doing it. Look at me, I was on the bus and I was just looking at people, listening to stuff, and we were all doing that. So I thought, that's awesome, but who's doing that in New Zealand? And no one really was. So I thought, you know what? I'll give it a go. And that's a little bit of that Kiwi can-do attitude, isn't it? That we think we can do it. Here's the weird thing about thinking you can do something is that you get to a point where someone says, hey, let's do it properly. And then you realize, uh-oh, I have to give it a go. So I'm kind of at that stage. I caught up with a guy named Paul Spain. He runs a podcast network called podcasts.nz. That's podcasts, plural, with an S, .nz. He's got podcasts on technology, on science, on wine. I think he's got one on politics, and the list goes on and on. So this, I don't really know where My Kiwi Life fits in. I think it's just like a, maybe life? Is that what we're trying to work out here? I'm not sure. Anyway, so every week, I, Will Fleming, will sit down with a guest, and we'll talk about life. These guests will have ranging backgrounds, but the kind of rule is that they have to be doing something a little bit cool, because you know you want to be inspired, you want to be challenged with whatever's going on in our life. So today's guest, this week's guest, the first podcast guest is a man called Professor Grant Schofield. Schofield. Apologies, Grant, if I bugger up your name. Basically, he's what I call the fat professor. He studies, get this, fat is good for you, okay? Now, we all know sugar's probably the modern-day enemy, but no one's really saying fat's the answer. What they're saying is remove sugar and you'll be healthier. But if we think a step back and we think fat used to be delicious, then for some reason science told us to take fat out. I guess that made food taste yuck, so they had to make it taste nice. What did they put in? Sugar. And now look, diabetes, overweight, including myself, You know, I'm just going to be straight up. I'm carrying too much and I need to lose some. So for me, this conversation was awesome because he breaks it down into some easy to digest, pun intended, information that we can use today. So basically, fat's back on the menu, and Grant tells us why. Remember, he's a professor. So if anyone argues with you, you can say, it's okay. The professor told me I could do it. Anything else to add? I would like to give a couple thank yous. I'd like to thank Paul and Selena from podcast.nz for making this podcast possible. I'd like to thank Crawford, who you'll hear me speak with from time to time. He's just a dude that I really like because he's honest and he's straight up and blunt. And he's a little bit my moral compass. So we're work colleagues. And I've invited Crawford every now and then to come and hang out and pod with me. He also edits the podcast, so thank you, Crawford, for editing. I'd like to thank my wife and kids for giving me their patience as I venture down this new road of podcasting. It's scary, I tell you, but I'm enjoying talking to these people, to these people of thought, and getting behind the curtain of what makes them tick. And that's about it for now. I'd like to thank you, finally, the audience, for listening. Please get in touch with me. Let me know that you're there. Let me know that you're with me on this journey. will.fleming@podcasts.nz. You can email me or tweet me at willflemingnz on Twitter. So let's get on with the first episode. Like I said, I'll be back every week, every Monday. I'll pump a pod out and we'll do this together, folks. We'll ask some of life's big questions. And we'll see where this goes, eh? Okay, I'll make a promise to you guys. I'll just try and keep it real. And you just tune in and share and help me grow. And we'll do this together. Okay, so first episode about to roll. Grant Schofield, the fat professor. Check it, how he tells you to eat fat. Love it, love it, love it. Thanks for listening, folks. Hugs to everyone.
My Kiwi life, let's play the game of life today. My Kiwi life, the ups and downs we live each day. This is my Kiwi life. Oh, this is my Kiwi life.
Oh, well, I'm a professor of public health, which, you know, when you first hear about public health, you think it might sound sort of boring, really, like it's something to do with catching cholera or something. But what I deal with is nutrition and exercise, staying in shape, not being fat.
Yeah, and you're not fat, so that's good. You can teach me how to not be fat.
Yeah, it would be awkward if I was, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe a little bit, yeah, because then none of your research would work.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, so where do we start with you, Grant? Did you want to be a professor when you were a child? What did young Grant want to be?
Oh, no. It's the funniest thing when you're growing up because I'm sort of like, and I've got my kids going through this now of various ages and trying to figure out what you'd do with your life. And I really couldn't figure out anything. And first of all, I was actually good at school until the point where you actually had to do actual work, at which point I wasn't good anymore because I was strategically lazy. So it was this idea that, you know, so things came reasonably, you know, maybe my parents did a good job earlier on and taught me how to read or something and or read to me, and I could sort of pick those things up, and I always used to like reading books and that.
Yeah.
And so I did well at school until the point in high school when you actually had to try, and then that's how your results, my results declined steadily from there. Until, you know, basically I was, you know, got onto the last possible mark to get into the lowest possible university course.
And are you sure you should be saying this?
Well, no, it's true. And I went to university and I was like, oh, God. And then so you sort of go through that early drinking stage. It's quite a common thing. I still see it with my students now. And so your marks go from being quite bad to being really, really poor. But I was saved by the fact that I was actually interested in a couple of subjects, and those are the ones I turned up to, didn't take any notes and just listened and asked questions and, you know, did that sort of stuff. And then I used to do quite well in those, and I sort of was able to follow that. And then as I was able to dump all the subjects I got C minuses for, it sort of built up from there. And eventually I figured out that the only way forward in life was to, well, I kept getting to these points where it's going, is there anything else that I could do that would either pay me any money? No one would employ you. Or I'd like to do, and the answer was no. So I just sort of kept going, you know, did a master's and did a PhD, and then, you know, eventually you get quite good at knowing something about something. And that's how I sort of got started, really. So I had this sort of, I call it strategic laziness, and I'm trying to encourage my sons to be strategically lazy.
Yeah.
You know, so that's different, just to clarify, from being actually lazy. There's a subtle but really big difference. So it's okay to blow off stupid stuff, stuff that you think is meaningless, stuff that's ridiculous, but it's not okay to not try occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good advice. I feel like anything you say in this podcast, people can take as gospel. Well, maybe not that far. Maybe that's too far. I learned a new word today, Grant. Fudgel. You heard of that word before?
No. What does that mean?
So it's basically it's from the 18th century. And I'm trying to sound smart in front of you. I'm not going to try that hard. Basically, it means someone who pretends to work but doesn't. Are you a bit fudgel?
No, because I'm pretty open about the fact that I'm not working. I have a couch in my office that I lie down and go to sleep on and that sort of thing. So, you know, I'm not really fudgel. It's more of a public service thing. It's the idea of sort of carrying around a manila folder, look like you're actually doing something when in fact you're not. So,
hey, okay, well, let's talk a little bit about what your research is. I came across you through my daily internet doodling online, and I was getting interested in how to lose weight. I think that's a common thing amongst humans, right? How do we lose weight? So you only have to type into Google how to lose fat, and a million things come up.
Yep.
But for some reason, I came across this thing where it was talking about low carb. I'd heard about this before with Atkins.
Yeah.
A little bit of research. It's not really research, more doodling. And you came up and you were doing a TED talk. And basically, you were starting to talk about, I was flicking through and you were talking about eat fat. And I had to stop for a second because I was like, wait, what did he say? So I went back, started again. So maybe I've just kind of blown the whole thing. I'll let you talk a little bit. But is basically what your research is eating more fat?
Yeah, well, it's sort of a longer – there's a bit of a longer story to it, which is, of course, the reality is that for most of us, we won't catch something. We're not going to catch a disease and die. We're going to develop a disease and die because of the way we live, which is mostly not moving much in this food we eat. So that's basically, you know, people go, well, what do you care, mate? Really, you know, obviously we're going to die, haven't you heard? So what are you health people talking about? Well, it's not so much that, it's that my job in public health is really going, well, if you're going to live, you might as well be happy, have a good quality of life while you're around. So the reality is that most people around the world, including New Zealanders, have about a dozen years before they die where they're seriously disabled. And it's completely preventable, and it's such a bummer because, you know, you're hobbling around, you're bedridden, that sort of thing, and it costs the country a lot of money, and you know, no one can really be bothered with it, least of all if you've got it. So you go, well, how do you avoid that? And it's like, well, what you're eating has got something to do with it. You know, I've been standing around talking about the food pyramid for 20 years now, going, look, everyone knows that fat's got twice the amount of calories as everything else, protein and carbohydrates. That's obviously what makes you fat. It's certainly spelt the same as being fat. And actually, once you start to delve down into the actual research, look at all the studies, the clinical trials, all that science, there was never any evidence for us to tell the public to eat that way. And frankly, it's ended badly because it ignored everything that we know about what makes us fat, which is all around this hormone insulin, which is driven by sugar and carbs. Sugar and carbs make you fat. Fat doesn't make you fat in that context. So in the end, we've ended up sort of following this research and practice into low carbohydrate, high fat diets. So it's like really completely flipping around that food pyramid and going, oh, you know, rather than limiting fat, eat more fat, but get the carbs down. And when you do that, that is a superior way of managing your health. You can stay in shape more easily. You feel full. It works.
But what was the moment where you had to flip the pyramid? Like, did it happen slowly, or did it dawn on you, or did you see someone that was following these principles?
Oh, well, there's a few things. I mean, probably the most revealing was the time we've spent in the Pacific, especially the remote Pacific. And if you think about the Pacific as being the same, but if you go across the Pacific, it couldn't be a more different place. And probably the least developed in the Pacific is southern Vanuatu. And, of course, you go there not to fix them up from being healthy because they're already healthy. And so the World Health organization knows these guys are in good shape. They're living how they always have, eating what they always have, they're in good shape. But they know they're in good shape, but they're at risk of not being in good shape, so they send someone like me, an expert, to go and tell them what to do, which is completely ridiculous since they already know. But it's a good gig, and you go and get paid and hang out on a tropical island, take a few blood pressures, not required for duty, really. And it occurs to you when you're there that this whole, they're actually eating a lot of fat, and this whole low-fat thing is ridiculous. What they're not eating is sugar and the refined carbs. And as you go back closer to the cities in any Pacific country, the diet changes into this refined carb stuff, and it all goes to custard. And if you went to the worst of the places, it's a country called Kiribati, just north of the equator. These are the sort of coral atolls, very little local food supply, climate change stuff. And, the population's exploded there for one reason or another. And, again, you're walking around with your World Health Organization low-fat guide, exercise more, eat less, and you go, mate, that's just not going to work. I'm trying to tell these guys to eat a diet that resembles nothing they've ever eaten. They've already got diabetes. I mean, the whole diabetes team had diabetes, and actual diabetes in the community is running at about 60%. It's probably the highest in the world. And you go, oh, geez, the solution here isn't what we're currently doing. And you come back to New Zealand, you head out, especially South Auckland, you go, this low-fat diet, which has ended up being a high-carbohydrate diet, it's the worst possible choice for you guys, especially if you're from the Pacific, I reckon. So we're going to have to do something different, radically different. And if you haven't been to the supermarket or the hospital recently in this country, then go along, you'll notice one thing. It's the size of us. We've got really big, and it's happened really quickly.
Mm. I mean, so quickly, and that's the thing with putting on weight, is you only really realize it when you look back at pictures of yourself. So you came back from the islands, you came back to New Zealand, and were you at that point thinking, look, this ain't working for them?
Yeah.
So did you bring some of that thought?
Yeah, I brought some of that back, and we started doing some of this work. I mean, there's other people around the world obviously doing this sort of work that we've connected with. At the same time, we're also involved in sport and high performance to a degree, and I have been, at one point in my life I was a professional triathlete, not a good professional triathlete, I couldn't actually make any money. And one of the reasons I couldn't make any money is despite doing, 25 hours training a week, I was still too fat. You're like, mate, you're exercising 25 hours a week and you're still not in good shape. I wasn't overweight, but I wasn't lean enough that you need to be world class. And in the end, I got sick, and the lymph nodes in my groin enlarged to the size of peanuts, and they stayed that size for a decade because I'd got so sick from doing all this training and eating the way I was told to eat. Mm. And it wasn't until then I started immediately eating more fat and reducing the carbs that those lymph nodes went down in 2 weeks.
Is that right?
So, and you see this all the time, the immediate effects of just getting off the carbs and sugar and eating more fat.
Why aren't we all being told to eat high fat?
We went down the wrong track. We thought that fat in the diet meant that it was transferred into fat in your blood, and that made you fatter because fat has twice the calories, as I mentioned before, and that's not the mechanism for putting on weight. Sure enough, if you eat fat and carbs, that's what we call the standard American diet, all bets are off. That ends badly. That's burger and chips.
Yeah, and a soft drink.
A soft drink, yeah. So you'll bang up your blood sugars and therefore your insulin. Insulin's a storage hormone. You'll store the whole lot. But the active mechanism there is the carbs. That's what drives insulin up. So if you abandon, get the carbs down, get your insulin down, then your body naturally wants to burn fat as its preferred fuel source.
And are people like, how do I say it, are they kind of giving you a bit of stick about this? Like, I'm just trying to work out, it mustn't be an easy way to kind of go against the grain.
Oh, no. Well, see, the thing is, in research, the easy thing to do is, and I've played this game, is you do the way you get big research grants, your $1 million plus, and we've had, $25 million worth of those over the last 10 years. You do research that you already know the answer to. Right. It's safe. It's a conservative system. You put in the stuff, you know the answer, you've got this collaboration. It's not the way to discover new knowledge. To do that, you're defending the status quo, you don't rock the boat, everyone supports you, everyone likes you. But at some point you go, hey, some of this is actually wrong. We've got to challenge the status quo. People, my academic peers, they're after you because you've challenged what their career is based on. And that's my take on it. My other take on it, actually, while we're at it, is that, of course, if you spend your career chasing a particular point of view, when you're confronted with the fact that that isn't true, you know, the natural human tendency is not to go, oh, I was wrong, let's change my mind. The natural human tendency is to go, oh, no, I was right all along, but we just didn't do it on a big enough scale. That's called dissonance. And in a political sense, we call that the vision of the anointed. You know, we see this in politics all the time.
Like stubborn, sticking, like...
Yeah, stick to your guns no matter what. And if if that doesn't work, do it even bigger. And that's not a negative thing about politicians. That's human nature. That's what we do. So I think the physicists are onto this, frankly. And, you know, Einstein knew that he was going to be wrong. Feynman described science as a belief in the ignorance of experts. You know, and in public health nutrition, nothing is further from the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even Max Planck, he lamented at one stage that he felt science was advancing one funeral at a time, and that's where we're at in nutrition at the moment.
Where are we going, like, as a society? Let's take New Zealand, for example.
Yeah.
Hopefully lots of people listen to this. They hear you. They might go then back, and you've got a couple books.
Yep.
You got stuff out there.
Yeah.
But for the people who don't hear it, who maybe – you know, they're still going down their standard American diet.
Yeah.
Where's the youth of today going to be tomorrow in terms of if we continue down this path?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting idea that we might have reached our peak life expectancy as a species. In fact, our kids won't live as long as us. And, you know, I'm a parent, you're a parent. You know, that's not really acceptable, is it? That, you know, under our watch – we sort of screwed it up. I still think there's hope, though. I think the hope is actually the way the world's changed, and it is this sort of stuff, social media, podcasting, rather than just the government having a say. You know, the government could change your nutrition guidelines tomorrow from their current ridiculous low-fat state to whatever.
Mm.
It still won't make that much difference. It's the people now have the power to hold knowledge and, you know, just like that community back in southern Vanuatu I was talking about, it's not like one person held the knowledge about nutrition. The whole society holds that. Mm. They've actually got a fairly deep knowledge about what makes you well, what makes the whole place function. And we lost that. We lost that to the scientific method, which offered promise. But as we said, it's defeated by the fact that we don't change our minds. So, you know, my hope is that technology is the way out of this. We're connected up. We're in a space again where actually – you know, individuals are going to get the idea here and they just keep spreading the word and it spreads and spreads and spreads. And soon, and I think it's changing. I think we're now, you know, understanding that actually, you know, it wasn't butter that was the problem, it was sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just so hard to wrap your head around, though, for people who don't study it or don't write the books like you. You know, like, yeah, I've read your book.
Yeah.
I'm now trying that. It's difficult for me. I'll probably ask you on the podcast. It feels like when I'm eating bacon in the morning, this could be my last day here, because I've been told don't eat that, maybe not breakfast, but don't eat that, you know, that's too much for your body shape or type.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm going to be all right.
Well, first of all, if it is your last day, you might as well enjoy it. So yeah, have some bacon, that's fine. Yeah,
thanks, Chris.
Second of all, I think, yeah, I mean, everyone sort of goes bacon, bacon, bacon. Well, bacon is at the end a bit of a processed meat, and there's different bacons. You know, go and buy bacon out of a packet at a supermarket. It's pretty highly processed. If you eat that every day, it's probably going to end badly. But as a general idea of any more fat, and that could include some bacon, it's not going to. But, you've got to dump the toast. You've got to take the sugar out. You've got to stop eating the orange juice, because you eat both. That's the standard industrial food diet.
Am I right to think that you should keep your fats, dump your like sugar? So that includes like flour and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, totally.
That includes like potatoes and keep your vegetable. So
Totally. So my first principle is that if you're going to eat food, then people talk about the GI factor, the glycemic index, and I say that's a load of rubbish. Go for the human interference factor, you know, HI factor. If it comes in a packet and you need a food label to figure out what's in it, then it probably, it's probably full of carbs and sugar, but it's also highly processed. So, you know, if it's not in a packet, it's going to be naturally low in, relatively low in carbohydrates, higher in fat, and it's whole food. So there's your base.
Mm.
Now, different people need to restrict their carbohydrates different amounts depending on who they are. So some people, really easily dispose of the sugars in their blood. They're what we call, they're insulin sensitive. You know, my 14-year-old son, he can woof down any odd amount of carbs. He won't get fat easily. He might later in life, because as we all get older, we get more insulin resistant. So I'm much more insulin resistant than I was when I was young. So that exact same meal that he eats will have a completely different metabolic effect on me than it will on you. And so this is the whole point, isn't it, that we should all be eating whole food, but the amount of carbs that we can take, so the potatoes and all that sort of stuff, varies wildly between people and within people as well, because as we get older, or you know, on a day that you have poor sleep or you get more stressed or you know, you've been drinking or something, then that all drives you into a state where you're more resistant to insulin and you can't dispose of the same food. So exactly the same meal has a completely different metabolic effect on a different day for a different person.
Insulin, sorry, explain it to me a bit. So if I eat food, insulin is released, and that's like that helps me. What's it there for?
Oh, so insulin takes, you've got about a teaspoon of sugar in your blood, and so you've got, looking at the size, you've probably got 7 or 8 liters of blood. You've got 1 teaspoon, so you know, it's not very much. And if it goes much below that, you'll die, and that would be bad. So your body probably won't – that probably won't happen, hopefully.
Well, hopefully not while we're
recording. No. Well, you know, let's go a bit longer.
If it happens, you wrap it up for me.
Yeah, okay. No worries. I'm on it. So the thing is that when you eat some carbohydrates, like one piece of bread has got 4 teaspoons of glucose, sugar in it. It doesn't matter about the color. There's 4 teaspoons. A cup of rice has got 12. A cup of pasta has got 12. You know, banana's got 7, a cup of grapes, there's 12. You know, these are all rapidly absorbed carbs. They go in, and you've got this massive amount of glucose you've got to get rid of. And you need to get rid of it, because glucose in the blood is toxic. It corrodes, it damages everything it touches. So you need to get rid of it. Your body knows this, so it produces insulin. Insulin goes across to your cells, tries to move the glucose into the cells. If you've been eating a high-carb diet, they're already full, so it's got nowhere to go. It also says to the fat cells, hey, you're not required at the moment, because we don't really need energy from fat. We're trying to burn this sugar off. Can't you see it? So they're stood down. And then it goes to the liver, tries to get sugar into there. If that's full, which it probably is, it goes back to the fat cells, and it's like, guys, help. I've still got to get rid of this stuff. Can you help me? And it'll store it as fat. And that's the basic mechanism. So,
and if people want to read up some more, they can come and check out your page, or you know, there's resources for that kind of stuff.
On the sort of public thing, I've been blogging for a while now on my site, which is profgrant.com, and we've had a book out. I'd sort of been doing a bit of consulting and working with people, and sort of felt that I was, you know, having to list off what to do, and you know, wanted. You know, this isn't a way of eating you want to get wrong, because if you get it wrong, all of a sudden you're eating the carbs and the sugar and the fat, and that's just going to end badly. So we put out a guide called What the Fat, Fats In, Sugars Out. And so we published that earlier in the year, and it sold out. Actually, the first print run sold out in 3 weeks, which was encouraging. So then we were sort of caught red-handed and had to go and get another whole lot done, and we've got those in now, so that's been good. So that's What the Fat.
Cool. Yeah. Now, it's not – I'll probably ask you just before we wrap up to talk to people that are listening to help them. Like, I'm thinking it's all good. They've got in their minds, they'll go get your book, they'll do some research. But I'm sure there's some things that people can do, like, today to make some small changes, you know? Yeah. So I'd like to revisit that later. But I'm just trying to work out a little bit like a professor, right? So you're a professor. I've got this thing in my head asking if – did you kind of stumble upon this thing? So you got into public health, yep, but then realizing that the way we eat's wrong.
Yeah.
So were you aware that it was going to be a controversial topic? Trying to work out, because you would have had to say to yourself, look, I'm going to have to back myself here. I know I'm right. Is there things that, like, are there days where you're like, far out, man, this is hard?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're eventually they'll say, oh, Grant, yeah. He was onto it way back.
Well, they might. Oh, I hope they do. So question of backing yourself, isn't it? You know, I might be a lot of things that people are – you know, I've been called quite a lot of things. But one thing I don't think I am is stupid. Like, I can definitely go and look at some stuff, make some sense of it, go back, look at a few more research papers. And I probably read, in the last few years, I've probably read about 10,000 research papers. That's a lot of reading, because it weighs heavily on your mind. You're talking to people about their lives, about how to be healthy, and it's not, you don't sort of want to get that wildly wrong, especially when you're accusing people of getting it wildly wrong.
What are they saying to you on their side of the fence?
Yeah, you're wildly wrong. and of course, that's the problem, isn't it? Once you get an I run the risk of exactly what I'm accusing them of. I get an idea and I'll defend it now. Mm. And that's the most difficult thing about being a human, isn't it? To decide how and when you're going to be objective, because your very humanity drives you away from doing that. So, this is where the public part of public health comes back in, though, isn't it? Because I don't need to own this. Actually, the public needs to own this. And the public isn't held accountable by its own dissonance exactly like I am and the previous scientists have. So, I see my job mainly as raising this as an idea. I'm backing the science, of course, but I would, wouldn't I, because I've had that idea. But the public won't do that. And, of course, now the public is – see, the old science used to be done in ivory towers. You had to have the library card and you had to know that a paper existed in the medical school library. You had to go and find it and photocopy it and all that sort of stuff. Now you get it on Twitter on your phone, full text for free. Everyone's got access to this knowledge. Now, everyone's not going to choose to go and investigate that and read it, but actually a lot of people will. And that's what will make the difference. So, that's where I see it happening, but to your original question here, did I know what I was in for? Yeah, probably. Am I comfortable with it? Well, you've got no choice, have you? You have to be.
You're that guy now.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
You can't go, I think this is wrong, I'm just not going to say anything. Like, would you do that? You couldn't do that, could you?
I don't know, Grant. I'm kind of at that weird stage in my life where I'm searching a little bit. So this helps me talking to you.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's one thing in the right direction,
Yeah.
That if I don't really want to go too deep into it, but it feels right to eat fat. It's like a nice thing, loving your children.
Yeah.
You like making love with your wife.
Yeah.
It feels nice. And I feel like those should be some principles I'd be safe enough to live by. The hack comes in where it feels nice to eat sugar as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, sugar was always, we're always programmed to eat it when it turned up occasionally. It's just that's exactly what happened. It turned up occasionally.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in the modern world, it's not occasionally. It's like that's the main source of energy. So that's where we went wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We'll wrap up in a sec. Grant, do you do stuff outside of being a kick-ass professor? Like, are you... Do you look into, so you're looking at the physical?
Yep.
Do you look at the mental as well?
Oh, yeah. That's another side of our research, which is just well-being. So my research centre is called the Human Potential Centre. And I've sort of tried to think about this whole idea of what it takes to be the best you can be, whatever that means. So, I'm really into this idea of well-being.
Are we doing it right? I mean, here's my day. I go to work.
Yeah.
I sit at a desk all day.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing right because the paycheck comes in.
Yeah.
And then outside of it, I'm looking to things like this, which are hobbies, but you get to meet interesting people.
Yeah.
Is that like, should I be doing that? Am I plugged into the matrix? Is it all okay, Grant?
Yeah, it's a bit of a philosophical one, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I've got you here now.
Yeah. I mean, my view on, what was the quote from the 50s, sometimes if I'm walking to work, I think this when I'm looking at the Auckland motorway, it's like the trouble with winning the rat race is at the end of the day, you're still a rat. I think that's definitely an issue. My hope for New Zealand in particular is we get a bit more distributed in where we live. It's a beautiful country. We've got a place down the Coromandel, which we love, out amongst nature. But the way that technology is going is going to allow that. And so, do you really have to live in Auckland? Do you want to live in that 9-to-5 world, but is there actually alternative ways emerging in a new world order with technology and whatnot that means we can actually work from completely different places and that'll offer a totally different way of connecting. If I'm down and I'm talking specifically about a place called Tairua where I live on the
I know that
Coromandel. Yeah, you do.
Being the Hikawai kid, I do know that.
Yeah, because Hikawai's just down the road.
Well, Hikawai's the smaller cousin of Tairua.
Yeah.
It's got one shop. One school, I went there. I made it out, and I'm in the big city.
Yeah. Well, you might go back there because it's this is the thing about these places. It's people will stop for a chat, and they know who you are.
Yeah.
And that has its downsides as well. It's not all, you know, it's a double-edged sword, but at the end of the day, you know, we could, in our sort of, we've surveyed 10,000 New Zealanders. You want to look at the overwhelming thing that makes people well? It's connecting with other people.
Really?
Yeah, other people matter. If you want to pick three words, other people matter.
Aren't we doing that on Facebook? Not the same?
Yeah, well, that helps, but it's not, you know, it's still actual people, you know, like you want to be. Yeah.
Grant, we're only scratching the surface, but I'm going to wrap this up maybe a round two sometime.
Yeah.
Okay, so that person at home listening, what's tomorrow looking like for them? They want to make changes. Let's start with the eating.
Yeah.
It's not realistic to chuck everything out of the fridge.
Yeah.
Maybe save it for the next shop, looking for more things like
eggs. Start with eggs.
Yep.
Great start to that. I mean, my family goes through 5 dozen eggs a week.
Yeah.
So, you know, eggs, great food. You know, the fruits and veg, especially the veg, go to a butcher. You know, but if you're going to buy your food, the supermarket isn't the only place that sells food. People
it's
might
not.
Not be, no, you may not be aware of this, but you can get there's fruit and veggie shops and butchers. You could do virtually the way I'd eat. We'd buy virtually all our food from just those, the fruit and veg shop and the butcher. You know, especially a good butcher.
And like you're looking for fattier bits of meat too, right?
In general, I would, yeah. Well, first of all, I'm a bit of a tight ass and they're better value. and so, you know, but yeah, I mean, because you're getting a nice, you know, you're getting chops for $6 a kilo. That's different than the sirloin for $35, you know. So, and they've got plenty of fat. You can get some pork, eat the crackling. Away you go.
I feel good, Professor Grant Schofield. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for help saving the world one more day. That will wrap us up. Grant, how can people follow you on Twitter?
Yep, at Grant SNZ. I got a bit of a stink handle actually, so yeah, there wasn't really onto that.
It's right.
At Grant SNZ and you know, profgrant.com.
Cool, Grant. Well, we look forward to your next bit of research and writing another book.
Yep, actually, I've been working all day on I'm doing What the Fat Sports Performance, mainly because we just think that this is for people who are really into being the best they can be. This stuff's a no-brainer. And then by 6 months, we'll have another one, What the Fat Family's out.
Okay. Grant, thank you for your time.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Whoa, this is my Kiwi Life.
Sorry, folks. Bit embarrassed here. Okay, My Kiwi Life song. Version 1.
My kiwi life think my kiwi life, what's life about? Oh, shame.
I just do the chorus again. This is my, and then kiwi life, like that or something.
Whoa, this is my kiwi life.